Case number 21-1441, Hobart Mayfield Incorporated versus National Operating Committee on Standards for Athletic Equipment et al. Oral argument is not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Bachman, you may proceed for the appellant.
Thank you. Good morning. If it pleases the court, my name is Alan Bachman. I represent Hobart Mayfield, doing business as Mayfield Athletics. Mayfield filed antitrust and tortious interference claims against defendants. The district court dismissed for failure to state a claim, and we've appealed. I would like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal.
And that's fine. As you may have been advised, Jeff Seiler is not on the argument today, but he'll be part of this panel. He'll listen to the recording and will be part of the three-judge decision. So you may proceed.
All right. Thank you. The National Operating Committee on Standards for Athletic Equipment, or NOCSE for short, provides a critical certification for football helmets. If you want to use a helmet in any organized football league play, you must have this important certification. My client offers a safe clip. It's a clip that replaces the four standard clips that affix a football face mask to the helmet. It's a patented product. It's made from an absorbent rubbery material that's designed to absorb impact and reduce concussions. My client's product and others like it are commonly referred to as football helmet add-ons. When you attach my client's product to a NOCSE certified football helmet, the helmet still passes NOCSE's helmet football certifications. Nevertheless, NOCSE and the three helmet manufacturer defendants, Riddell, Shoot, and Zenith, have agreed that as soon as a player puts our product on their certified helmet, it is instantly decertified. In other words, even though the helmet with our product on it still passes all of NOCSE's helmet certification standards, the helmet manufacturers nevertheless are allowed to decertify it.
Mr. Brockman, let me ask you just one quick question. So, your client filed, or you, on behalf of your client, filed this amended complaint, and the court has granted the defendant's motion to dismiss. Does the complaint allege that this newest generation of safe clip meets this NOCSE standard and was rejected by the defendants? I didn't see in the amended complaint that there is that allegation, and I guess if it's not there, why is that not a problem for you?
We alleged that we presented our product to the labs that are authorized by NOCSE to test the product, just like they're authorized to test the helmets themselves manufactured by the football helmet defendants, and that it passed all of NOCSE's standards. Our position is that we have not presented those test results to the defendants. And our position is that our claim absolutely still stands, regardless of whether we had presented it to them or not.
What? Why is that true? I mean, most of the standard-setting cases that I've looked at and I've worked on involve more elaborate facts, in the sense that somebody tried to get a product on the market, somebody tried to negotiate a license agreement. There were other steps involved, rather than just challenging. Almost a facial challenge to the system. Can you address that?
Certainly. So NOCSE has published a statement saying that all football helmets that have a certification, that the manufacturers are allowed to decertify their helmets the moment any football helmet add-on is attached to the helmet. Each of the defendants have made blanket public statements to the entire marketplace saying that when that happens, they are decertified. There are no exceptions. That we are allowed to take them at their word that they are decertified. And more importantly, even if we had presented our product to these helmet manufacturers and they had given us an exception, all of our potential customers are nevertheless aware of those public statements, and all customers start with the presumption that our product decertifies their helmet and is not therefore allowed in league play. That creates a huge burden for our product to be put into the marketplace. And there is case law suggesting that when that enough creating those kinds of barriers, preventing from being in the market.
I mean, have you negotiated? Have you? I mean, my understanding of the way the press release is worded, they can declare it void or the certification void. They can then submit it for testing again and then and recertify it, right? Have you negotiated or tried to say, hey, look, can you get this stuff tested so that we can get it approved? Or is it just kind of stopped at that point?
No, I believe that the answer is it stopped at that point. The helmet manufacturers are not telling the public that there's any exceptions. They're saying if you put our product on a helmet, it's decertified. These are blanket public statements. There's no exceptions. All of our customers see those in the public domain. They assume we can't be used. So what I'm saying is even if we went to Riddell and said, hey, we have passed all Noxy certifications, can we use, can you make an exception for us? And even if they say, yeah, you know, we'll make an exception for your product, all of our customers still see those blanket statements. This creates a huge burden for us. Most potential customers won't, and it's equipment managers, football teams, players, they all just see these public statements and say, I can't use an add-on. And so when you create that burden for us to enter the marketplace, that alone is enough to create a huge burden and impediment for us to even get into the market at all. And there's case law on this saying that you don't have to foreclose the entire market. If you simply take steps and
the market, what is the market here? Is it the market for add-ons to football helmets? Is it the football helmet market? What's the market?
There are two real markets. The markets is add-ons itself, and it's really replacement parts for reconditioning for helmets. Our product replaces the standard clips in a football helmet. When you recondition a helmet, they break in organized league play, they crack and break, and you replace them. Or when you recondition a helmet, you can replace with our clip. You can use a crappy clip that you can buy as a plastic replacement part, but you are not allowed to use ours because the helmet manufacturer defendants say, oh no, that's an add-on replacement part. You can't use that.
Why is that? I guess I'm struggling a little bit with why. I mean, we have warranties all the time everywhere with products, and they say if you add something to this product that is not authorized by us, you void your warranty, essentially. And isn't that what they're saying here? You can't, you know, it's like a chainsaw or something. Hey, if you take the guard off and replace it with something else, we're not responsible anymore, right? I mean, it's a product liability issue.
That is not the same thing. This is not about safety or warranties. This is about a certification. What they're saying is your product is illegal and decertified when your product is attached. Our point is, no, it's not. It's passed the testing. It still satisfies certification. The helmet manufacturers are allowed to say, we don't recommend it. They're saying we don't approve it. We don't like it for all sorts of other safety reasons they may have. But the certification is not theirs. It's Noxy's. We've established that we satisfy it. They should not be allowed to say that.
I guess I'm not following. It is their certification. So why wouldn't they be able to say? I mean, I don't know. I didn't see any allegations that, for example, the manufacturers were the ones that promulgated these standards, right? That they're the ones that were the moving force behind the 2018 press release. I mean, it's not, I mean, you have to admit, right? We don't have the Allied 2 radiant burners. There isn't an allegation that they totally dominate this standard setting organization, right?
That's correct. That's not our point. Our point is that that Noxy licenses their certification to the helmet manufacturers under a license agreement. And that certification belongs to Noxy. They license it to the helmet manufacturers. They need it to sell it in their helmets in league play as anyone else does. All right. And then they issue a policy statement that part of those licensing agreements confer a right to the helmet manufacturers to decertify their helmets when our add-ons are attached, regardless of whether or not their helmets still pass their certification standards. This is not about safety. Once our product has demonstrated that it passes these standards issued by Noxy, as far as Noxy is concerned, they're safe. If the helmet manufacturers have other safety issues, other concerns they want to address, they say we don't recommend you use it with a product, that's all fair game. I'm not going to – warranties might be a state issue. We'll set that aside. There might be other legal issues there. I'm just saying as far as safety is concerned, not as, and as far as Noxy is concerned, the product is safe. We pass those standards when our add-on is attached to the helm.
What is the evidence or what's the allegation? It seems to me that you have agreement. You have an agreement or agreements between Noxy and the manufacturers, right? You have these, what I would kind of the spoke agreements. Where's the wheel though? Where's the agreement between the manufacturers to not allow this product or not to submit it to be certified with their helmets? Where's that agreement?
So there's two pieces here. One is just count one, which is that these licensing agreements improperly confer a right to decertify when our product combined with a helmet passes certifications. That's a what you would call a vertical agreement between Noxy and each helmet manufacturer. Noxy said, we're granting you the right to decertify, even though you've passed the standards. And each of them then issued blanket statements saying, we in fact do that. That is enough. Under Watson Carpet, decided by this case, it's an express agreement. It's an explicit agreement. And when you've pled that and you've pled conduct that essentially aligns with that, that's all you need to plead for a direct explicit agreement with direct evidence. I think my time is up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Bachman. You'll have your 4 minutes of rebuttal. Mr. Ettinger?
Thank you, Your Honor. David Ettinger, arguing on behalf of the defendants. Your Honor, I'm going to correct a few of the things that Mr. Bachman said in a minute, but I want to start by pointing out that the real flaw here is this is a conspiracy case, an agreement case, and there's no there. There's no agreement to exclude safe products, which has got to be the essence of his claim. Count one talks about the license agreements. The license agreements, and you can look at the language in paragraph 117 of the complaint, say nothing about decertifying. They say nothing about other parties. Indeed, the license agreements are the same form license agreement, and this is in the attachments to the complaint, used for baseball, softball, hockey, lacrosse. So how do they create some conspiracy about football helmet add-on products? They cannot do so. The policies in question do not mention the license agreements. They do not incorporate the license agreements. So even aside from Your Honor's comment about how, you know, at most this would be spokes and where's the rim, where's the connection, you don't get there because there's no spokes relating to the subject of the alleged conspiracy. The agreements just aren't about this issue. And there's just a complete disconnection there. So can there be some kind of conspiracy created by circumstantial evidence? Well, the problem there are zero allegations in the complaint about communications between any manufacturer defendant and Noxy about anything related to this subject. There's not even a communication that they lobbied to get these policies, though there would have been nothing wrong if they had. In the absence of communications like that, Your Honor, there's absolutely nothing here to suggest a conspiracy relating to.
Let me ask you this question. I find standard setting cases are interesting. Is there an agreement by the manufacturers to abide by the standards? In some cases, the standard setting itself is an agreement, I guess, because the manufacturers have agreed that they're going to abide by them. And maybe these license agreements are evidence that they've kind of bought into this entire system, right?
The complaint doesn't say that. There's no facts alleged. I don't believe there are any facts anywhere to indicate that the manufacturers have agreed with Noxy that they have a right to decertify products or that they will decertify products or anything else related to this subject. All the license agreements, does Your Honor, according to the complaint, excuse me, go ahead, Your Honor.
No, do you agree, though, that a manufacturer needs certification in order to compete in this market, either in the add-on market, the helmet market, or let's say the add-on replacement part market? They need that certification or they can't compete in the market. Is that right? Or have some say?
You know, the complaint alleges that in a conclusory way, Your Honor. I don't know that the complaint establishes that. Interestingly, contrary to what Mr. Bachman said, the only allegations about customers are in paragraphs, I think, 199 to 206. It refers to particular customers. And several of them simply said, we don't want to use a product if the manufacturer doesn't like it. And that would make sense. You trust the helmet manufacturer. You wouldn't want to add something to his helmet if he didn't like it. They don't even mention certification. So certification may be, I don't know whether in fact certification is critical, but I don't think the complaint alleges facts that establish it's critical.
Well, why not? Why? I think the complaint alleges that if in order to have a helmet, as a practical matter, I suppose, to have your helmet used in high school football in this country, it's got to have a sticker, this sticker on it. It's got to have this certification. If that's correct, then I don't know how an add-on manufacturer has access to that market without going through this certification, right?
Your Honor, if you accept that those conclusions of the complaint, that's correct, but that doesn't show there's any conspiracy here, Your Honor, which is critical, right? If Noxie, let's suppose for the sake of argument, if Noxie unilaterally...
One of the things that we've said, and one of the things that the standard setting cases point out sometimes, is that the manufacturer or the professional or whoever it is, there's nothing stopping them from getting certified, or that they can go on their own and get their product certified. And here, it seems like the manufacturers control whether to certify something or not, right? It's up to them to certify. So how does this company get access to this market if they can't get access to the certification?
Your Honor, if Noxie on its own unilaterally, and that's all the complaint allows one to conclude, decided that a manufacturer has a right to decertify its helmet if somebody adds a product to its own helmet, and it is page 1429 of the complaint explains why Noxie does that, it alters the performance of the helmet. If I'm selling a helmet, I'm going to get sued if there's a problem. If somebody else's add-on, I can say somebody else's add-on caused it, but I've still got the problem. But that doesn't create an agreement involving the manufacturers. And by the way, the complaint does not allege, contrary to what Mr. Bachman said, that all these manufacturers said, we are decertifying these products no matter what. As to Zenith, for example, you can look at paragraph 156. The only thing the complaint says is that Zenith has a warranty policy, the very thing Your Honor raised. That's all that's alleged as to Zenith. As to Shutt, in paragraph 157, it says they won't approve, they won't certify products that don't meet their guidelines, doesn't speak to what the guidelines are. This notion that there's some blanket decision by the manufacturers is simply not supported by the allegations in the complaint. But in any event, Your Honor, there needs to be a conspiracy here as described by Zenith, as described by the plaintiff in conclusory terms. There has to be a conspiracy to try to exclude products that are believed to be safe. And the complaint's allegations actually establish that can't be true. The complaint itself explains that two of these manufacturers tested the product. This is in paragraphs, I think it's 171 to 172, Your Honor. Yes, they tested the product. They said, one of them said to Mayfield, this doesn't work. It makes contact with the face. And two of them talked about it. Now, if they were intending here to conspire to keep safe products out of the marketplace, then they certainly wouldn't A, test them and be concerned that they were unsafe, B, tell Mayfield about it. So it's completely inconsistent with the notion that this is some conspiracy to keep these safe products out. It's impossible to draw that conclusion given these facts. Another example, Your Honor, beyond that, we have no communications whatsoever between the manufacturers and Noxie.
I'm curious why the policy changed from 2013 to 2018. I mean, under the 2013 policy, if it's a policy, I don't know, it's a press release, but the add-on manufacturer would have been able to test this product themselves. And would have said and could have said, hey, look, this passes the standard. Now it seems like they're foreclosed from doing that. I'm confused. It seems like it's kind of stifling innovation here.
Your Honor, I don't think the complaint provides a basis for drawing that conclusion. What the complaint says in both policies, in 2013, it said the manufacturer can decertify any helmet if there's an add-on put onto it. And in 2018, that language was kept. Now, the difference is...
Am I misreading this? I thought it said companies which make add-on products have the right to make their own certification of compliance with the NOXI standards. Is that not right from 2013?
That's correct, Your Honor. I was going on to say that. And that went away in 2018. And the problem, I think, is, though the complaint doesn't really explain this, Your Honor, the problem, I think, is that the two are kind of inconsistent. You're a manufacturer, and you say, I don't trust this face clip. I don't want it on my, I want to decertify my helmet with it, because they all go together. They're tested together, they're used together. And then you say, but a third party can separately certify. And what the 2013 press release said is that their responsibility would then become theirs, not the helmet manufacturer, close quote. Well, it's easy for the policy to say, okay, helmet manufacturer, it's not your responsibility anymore. It's still their helmet. The injury is still going to be to somebody wearing their helmet, and they're still going to get sued. And the FAQs to all this, also attached to the complaint, page 1429, explained that add-on accessories can change a helmet and interfere with performance in ways unintended by the manufacturer. Put all this together, and it's logical to conclude, Your Honor, that the 2013 policy didn't make a whole lot of sense. It had two pieces that didn't fit together. And the logic of
I don't know why that would be true. I mean, it's standard setting a lot of times, I guess, fosters innovation, because it allows someone to make an add-on that's a standard add-on. In other words, if I'm a headphone manufacturer and you set a standard for what the headphone jack looks like, it encourages all kinds of different headphone manufacturers, and you can add on the products and you get innovation. But here it's like, and they could test them themselves or whatever. Here it seems like you're just deliberately keeping kind of these products off the market by, I mean, it's almost like tying the replacement parts and the helmets together. It seems like a little bit odd here, that change from 13 to 18.
Well, I guess what I'm suggesting is, when you're talking about a football helmet, which creates very serious safety risks, and that's all explained in the attachments to the complaint, the manufacturer who's on the hook for that helmet should be able to make decisions about what is sold with his helmet. That was NOXI's conclusion. Now, whether you think that's a good idea as a matter of public policy or not, there is zero evidence that that decision, that NOXI decision, was dictated by, controlled by, or agreed to by the manufacturers. Zero. There's zero evidence any manufacturer even communicated with NOXI in that regard. And after that, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, that decision is not a violation of Section 1 of the Sherman Act. It just can't be, because there's no basis for any conclusion that there's an agreement here. There's no parallel conduct. As I mentioned, Zenith didn't even speak to certification. They just talked about warranty in the language that's quoted there. So when you don't have any communications about it, you don't have any suggestion that the manufacturers were trying to bar unsafe products, which is the claim, when in fact they were doing just the opposite. You know, there's simply no basis for a conspiracy claim here. There's no parallel conduct, and there's no other conduct. Now, Mayfield talks about what they claim are 9+ factors here. The problem is, since there's no parallel conduct, given how Zenith and Shutt, as I've just described, didn't do what Mayfield claims they did according to their own complaint, paragraphs 156 and 157, there's no parallel conduct. You don't get to the plus.
Your friend on the other side is saying there's parallel conduct because they've all agreed. Okay. They've all said that they're going to avoid these warranties or this certification if there's an add-on product, through their press releases or their websites or whatever it is, that's all parallel. Is that, you're saying that's not true?
I'm saying that's not what his own complaint says when you look at the facts. If you look at the specific facts of the complaint as opposed to the broad sweeping legal conclusions, as to Zenith, the only thing they talk about is a warranty policy. And they don't even say when it was adopted. For all we know, it was adopted 20 years before. And all it says is that unapproved replacement parts will void the warranty. That doesn't speak to what Your Honor just described, which is clearly what Mr. Bachman's saying. As to Shutt, again, we have a policy. We don't know when it was adopted. And it said that they will decertify products that are inconsistent with their guidelines. There is no such blanket statement. So we don't have that kind of parallel conduct. I mean, that's simply not what the facts show. And of course, the standard here is that Mayfield has to have some facts. You know, we go to the other so-called plus factors. A bunch of them are minus factors, Your Honor. For example, motive. The idea that a helmet manufacturer individually would want to keep an add-on product from the market if it reduced its product's liability exposure doesn't make any sense. They would have every incentive to adopt these add-on products if they avoided these very serious safety problems that the complaint itself talks about. As I mentioned, they communicated with one another, two of the manufacturers. They communicated about their concerns about safety. And then control is kind of a critical one, Your Honor, because if Noxie took these actions as part of a conspiracy, there's got to be some reason to believe the manufacturers controlled Noxie. And certainly that Mayfield makes that argument, but the problem with its argument is the facts it alleges are exactly the opposite. All it can say is that one of 10 different trade associations represented on the Noxie board is one in which a couple of the manufacturers participated. That's incredibly attenuated. That doesn't suggest anything approaching control. It doesn't suggest anything that would suggest an agreement in concert. So at the end of the day, there are simply no facts alleged here, Your Honor, when you look at the specific factual allegations of the complaint that support the conclusion that there was a conspiracy, and that's what this case is about. I guess I've got a few seconds left, but on that rhetorical note, I think I'll end, Your Honor, unless you have a further question.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ettinger. And Mr. Bachman, you have 4 minutes of rebuttal.
Certainly. Okay, so first, our complaint has two distinct antitrust claims. One is the agreements, the explicit agreements between Noxie and the helmet manufacturer defendants. The other is the conspiracy claim. Mr. Ettinger loves to muddy the issue and combine them. Only the second part deals with an overarching conspiracy. Within that, we alleged horizontal parallel conduct and plus factors. There's extensive parallel conduct here. They changed this policy. They said all of them can decertify helmets even when they pass their standards. Two of them issued published written statements saying that, in fact, that was the case. Zenith actually made other public statements saying that was the case. It's in the complaint. It's there. In addition, we allege they were presented with add-ons that passed certifications, and they agreed they passed certifications, and they said, nope, still can't use them. That's the Zudi face mask, all right? Now, the vertical part, the count one, is different than the conspiracy claim, all right? That says that there are explicit written agreements. They are the licensing agreements. And we pled a fact saying that the 2008 policy statement clearly said that under those license agreements, the helmet manufacturer defendants have the right to decertify when an add-on is attached, regardless of whether or not the helmet still passes certifications. That is direct factual evidence of a right conferred under those license agreements. There's no other way they would have the right to do that. All right. And Watson Carpet, decided by this very court, said when you plead an explicit agreement with facts showing that, there's nothing more to plead. And that is an unreasonable restraint because it says you can decertify a product that passes our standards. They're certainly able to say, look, if you haven't tested, right, if we don't know, or if there are other safety issues that aren't covered by the standards, go talk to Noxie about it. But you can't say there are these other safety issues we're concerned about. Mr. Ettinger also talks about these emails, about how they said, hey, look, we're concerned this doesn't pass the standards. They were before we submitted our product for testing by the independent labs. And I would point out that there were discussions among horizontal competitors under an NDA they had no business speaking with each other about whatsoever. If they had those issues, they should have talked to us about it, or arguably even Noxie, although that would have been in violation of the agreement, but they didn't. They spoke to each other about it. They're competitors and they had no business doing that whatsoever, all right? This is not about safety. These are not about amorphous safety concerns. Does our product attached to a helmet pass the standards? Yes. Are our players allowed to use it? No. Why not? Because they're saying, no, you can withdraw the certification. And can they do that because they don't pass the standards and because they shouldn't be using league play? No. They do it because Noxie and these defendants have agreed that they can decertify it. That's the only reason our product can't be used.
Okay, anything further?
1 second, Your Honor. I just want to... The last thing. The most important plus fact that we've identified here is Noxie's behavior against its own interests. Okay, it is there. It's a plus factor. It's clear. Why would a standard-setting body that creates an objective standard say, hey, we are going to abdicate our power to the helmet manufacturer defendants, say you can decide? It undermines their credibility. It undermines their standards. It says, hey, wait a minute. Are you in bed with them or are you offering objective independent standards? That is the most important plus factor we respectfully request that you consider.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bachman. Well, thank you, counsel, both of you, Mr. Ettinger and Mr. Bachman, for your arguments this morning, for your briefing. Very much appreciate it. The case will be submitted.